On today's checklist, explaining the domination in the Stanley Cup Final. We have a solution to the disappearing website Cap Friendly, and I'll provide you with an alternative. And we'll be joined by the newly minted Coach of the Year, Rick Tocchet, who authors my new favorite phrase, face pressure with pressure. It's the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Heads up! Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
What are you gonna do?
Hit him, light him up.
Yeah, nice hit.
That's solid.
I'm going to run you. I'm just waiting for my shift.
Oh, that Chirp Fest is always great. I always wonder, how would Rick Tocchet handle that? Would he have been braced going back and forth verbally, or would he just drop the gloves and deal with it? It's funny because Rick and I had a conversation a number of years ago about when he was coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, and a player was chirping him from the ice, opposition player, obviously. And Rick had finally had enough and said, okay, after the game, meet you outside. I'll ditch the suit and we'll settle things. I won't tell you the player's name. You can probably guess. I think I've mentioned it at times in passing over the years. Didn't get Rick's permission. Don't want to necessarily say things out of turn. But if you want to send me a note directly, I'll tell you. But it's a really fun story about how Rick, as a coach, still had that fire and wasn't going to put up with any BS on the ice. Just a little bit of a secret as we try to present things in the podcast world. And at times, I'm going to be honest, we will be intentionally vague about the timing of when we release or record an episode. So we record it and maybe it's a couple of days later and we want to be able to make it last longer. We don't want to date the podcast episode too much. So we'll just sort of walk that line. We can't do that today. Up front, we're on the edge of the end of the season right now. No other way to just embrace that. And if you listen to this in a couple of days, well, the season might be over. I do encourage you to stick around for the interview with Rick Tocchet because that stands the test of time. Florida has just dominated the Stanley Cup Final. They have been the far better team since Sergei Bobrovsky bought them time in the opening game. And there's a lot of what-ifs if the Edmonton Oilers would have been able to capitalize in the first 40 minutes at the curtain raiser of the 2024 Stanley Cup Final. That wasn't the case, and Florida has gained momentum throughout, including a really big statement in Game 3 up in Edmonton. So a couple of observations. Experience matters. More and more and more, it's obvious that going through the battle and using what you learned or using the fact that you came up short a year ago, like Florida did, as motivation has a big influence on what is going to happen. Not to take anything away because Edmonton's had its own grind over the years, but Florida got all the way to the end last year and we're on the big stage and we're unable to finish things off, and they have used what they went through to their benefit this time around. They went to school on losing to Vegas. They adapted and really have adopted a business trip mentality. That attitude that there's no need for brashness, extracurriculars. They are just there for the end goal, and that is to win the first Stanley Cup in Florida Panthers history. They are a lot of the same players, admittedly, a lot of the same players, but they are a totally different team on how they play the game, how they handle things and enter a game in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's been fun to watch. The other part is balance. Vegas did it last year, and I know I was like right beside them working for the Vegas Golden Knights, watching them march through that, and there was very little separating the top three lines from offensive standpoint. You had two great players on the Jonathan Marchessault and Jack Eichel were great, but it was by committee, by the balance. Look at the nine goals that they scored in the final and the way the offense was spread around. Florida has certainly done the same way. Their lines, and it's been tweaked throughout, and that's when Paul Maurice has come in and really left his fingerprints on this thing. But in an era of blue lines that are so dynamic and so aggressive, the Florida Panthers have a little bit of old school in them. in the sense of the point leaders on the Florida Panthers. You got to go well down in the top 10 before you get to a defenseman. And even then, there's only a handful of goals. Is there double digits in goals by defensemen? Don't want to, because we got another game to go. And when you're listening to this, again, I'm trying to be a little bit walking the fence here on the Vagna standpoint. But I love the way the Florida Panthers blue line has executed this Stanley Cup playoffs. And there's not going to be a Norris Trophy winner out of this group down the line. It's not going to happen. Nobody take offense to that. But they are right there, poised to become a Stanley Cup champion. And then you've got goaltending, right? Sergei Bobrovsky. And I don't know whether it's going to change whether teams, after watching clubs go with less invested in their goaltending, the last Stanley Cup, couple of Stanley Cup champions, to now having a $10 million goaltender, whether that changes how teams are going to address it in the future. But Sergei Bobrovsky wasn't the starter last year when their team opened the Stanley Cup playoffs, and is now the man, and a two-time Vezina Trophy winner, and maybe a Conn Smythe Trophy winner, maybe a Stanley Cup champion. He's been that good. Things look good for him right now, but I love what he's done. Taking down Vasilevsky, Swayman, and Shesterkin in the first three rounds, yet he's been most dominant in the Stanley Cup final. Think about that. Vasilevsky, Swayman, Shesterkin all left in his wake, and he's been the best in the Stanley Cup final. He's going against the best offense in the National Hockey League, but it's been brilliant. And what he did in game number one and then holding off the Edmonton Oilers in the latter part of game three has been beautiful, stymieing the Oilers' big three in Connor, Leon, and Evan Bouchard. Paul Maurice could win his first cup. Would love that. There's a few different storylines with the Florida Panthers that will get into next week. Don't want to put up, because if Edmonton gets a little bit of confidence here, I think they can make it interesting. They were right on the point of breaking through in game number one. I thought Leon was really good in game two from a opportunity standpoint. If he gets one of those, one short side one-timers to go, it would be great to get his ball rolling. And then in game three, they made that massive push at the end. So I don't want to write Edmonton off just yet, but it's hard not to think about different possibilities that could come with one more win by the Florida Panthers. And I also think the Florida Panthers offer inspiration to so many teams around the National Hockey League. This is a team that's been remade, and the last couple of years have added to it one more step every year, and trying to take the ultimate final step this time around. Vancouver's also an inspirational story around the National Hockey League. From outside of the playoff picture a year ago to a Pacific Division title this season, they were competitive in the Stanley Cup playoffs despite relying on the organization's third-string goaltender. And who was there to guide them throughout that journey? My pal Rick Tocchet. What an awesome human being and a great hockey man. He is the NHL's Coach of the Year, the Jack Adams winner, and he joins us on the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard. Enjoy this. Are you decompressed yet?
I will after I watch the final game of the Stanley Cup Finals. I get, even when I watch the game, Darren, I get amped up still when you watch playoff hockey, even as a, you know, whether you're a coach or a fan. So I think once the season is officially over, I'll start to decompress.
So how did you watch the final, having gone through it and such a lengthy run?
Early on is more of a coach, what could I have done different? What could our team have done different? What ifs? You play that what if game in your head. You know, should we have had a day off this day? Should I practice the team? Should we change this part of our D zone cover? Like, whatever it was, I replay things in my head. The last couple of games is more of a fan. I just want to sit back, not be a coach, and just like watch it. You know, just watch it as a guy that loves hockey. So that's the way I look at the most of the playoffs when you get knocked out.
You were able to benefit from the great Jack Adams announcement a couple of days after being eliminated. Was that good timing, or was that like, I just want to get away and now I've got to do a bunch of interviews again?
I mean, listen, I know it's an organizational trophy. A lot of people help me out. It's a lot of people get a piece of that trophy. You know, it is what it is. You know, you're proud of it, but my mind is always going like, how, you know, what do we do next year? Do I change training camp? You know, and I think that's really where I got to get better at is kind of sometimes I got to decompress. You know, you used that word about 5 minutes ago, and I got to pick my spots because, you know, a Rick Tocchet that comes in the season tired and my mind's going too much is not going to help the players. I got to come in really fresh, and I got to use these 2-3 months to really. Sometimes as a coach, you have to reinvent yourself. You know, you got to maybe give the players something different. And I think that's something I got to really look for. How do I kind of reinvent myself for next year?
I want to come back to that. But who told you that you'd won the Jack Adams? How did you find out?
Patrick Alvin, my GM. I think it was the day before. He just said, don't tell anybody. And so it was the day before the announcement.
Did you tell anybody?
My girlfriend, I think my brothers, a couple of people, but not you know, a small circle, because you know where the social media is nowadays, right? So I didn't want to be I didn't want my GM to be mad at me.
Did you ever think you'd be a Jack Adams winner?
No, you never think that way. I mean, you go into Vancouver, you know, you just think I'm trying to be part of that guy that can turn the program around there. You don't think of trophies. It's like players. You know, you don't start training camp, hey, I'm going to win the Art Ross or I'm going to win the Norris. You go into the season, I want to have a really good year. I trained all summer and I want to be part of the solution to the team. Whatever comes from that is great, but I think it's no way you go into the season. I mean, at least I don't, where you're trying to you know, your motivation is trophies, unless it's the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, good point on that one. If you're going to reinvent yourself, like, what would be done to give away secrets, but yeah, how would you go down that path?
Well, I think you got to look at your team, you know, why we were successful, why we weren't, you know, what can we, you know, you look at your team, the players you have, and then is there something we could do different? Obviously, we didn't score enough in the playoffs. We defended well. You know, we kept the low event games, but, you know, was there a goal here or there? So maybe I have to think of, can I open up the system a little bit? Is there a way we can be a better rush team? We weren't a very good rush team analytics-wise, but we were one of the best defending the rush. So is there a sweet spot you can find? You know, I give our coach, assistant coaches projects. You know, you look at the top three rush teams. What are they doing that maybe we can steal from them that can help us, but without sacrificing our defensive game? So that to me is reinventing yourself, not being afraid to hey, maybe we're not doing it properly, or maybe we have to think of some other ways to do it. And I think that's what good coaches do. Take a deep dive. What you can do better.
What did you learn about your team that was different from 82 games to the Stanley Cup playoffs?
I felt, and the big thing when I went to Vancouver is how to deal with pressure. You know, my big mantra is meet pressure with pressure. You know, wherever that pressure is on the ice, wherever that pressure is off the ice, go find it and attack it. You know, we don't want to go around it. We don't want to hide from it. And I thought as the year went on, we started, you know, we'd be up 2-1. Teams are making a press in the third, and we were successful winning that game. Maybe in the past, would have lost that game. And I think in the playoffs, you know, we had a bunch of comebacks, you know, where we were dead in the water, we came back and won. So I think that was a plateau that we did well, but to get to that top of the mountain, and we got a long way to go. You know, that game 7 against Edmonton, first period, we had that one breakaway, and after that, Edmonton was all over us. I didn't think we were dealing with pressure very well. Now, as the game went on, third period, we started to play better. But what could we have done better in that first period to deal with pressure? So that's why we have a long way to go. But I have to give the players a lot of credit, Darren, that they bought in. But we have a long way to go.
How hard is it to meet pressure with pressure psychologically?
A lot of players can do it 2 or 3 times out of 10. But to do it 9 times out of 10, is it sustainable? I mean, you know, if your job is to be a net front drive guy that's this game for whatever it's, and it happens. Some games are like, geez, I'm always the middle guy, middle drive guy. Can you do it 9 out of 10 times? And that's where the action is. It's hard to do. You're going to get hit. You might get a puck in the back of the, you know, in the back of the leg. Something will hurt. A lot of players can do it three times out of 10, but only the great players are, I shouldn't say it have to be a great player, but the great minds of meeting pressure with pressure do it all the time. And that's the hard part. It's hard to do. So that's something we try to train our mind to do.
Were you good at that?
I thought for my talent level, one of my biggest attributes for me is my brain, in the sense that I wasn't afraid to get hurt or to go to those areas. I don't know if I play, if I was a perimeter player, I don't think I'd play 18 years. I might not make the NHL, to be honest with you, Darren. I think so. A lot of my reason I played the way I played is in my mind. I knew that if I had to be successful, I had to do this consistently. And I think that's some, that's some of the stories you can tell the players. I mean, I'm not a big storyteller. I don't want to be that coach. When I played, I just don't think players resonate to that. But I think sometimes the odd story or the odd, you know, motivational thing that if you do these things, you will be successful, helps the player.
If you were going to tell a story about Rick Tocchet, which story would you tell?
Oh, man, that's a good one. Well, I think the one thing, you know, I think the proud moment, you know, and I hate being that guy. I don't like patting myself on the back. I'm not that type of guy. But I do remember in Pittsburgh when I got a shot in the jaw and I broke my jaw. Mario Lemieux had to dump the puck and it was a slap shot. Or maybe he says it was a wrist shot. It was a slap shot. Hits me in the jaw. And in between periods, you know, at the time I didn't know it was broken. And it was wonky. And I remember I just said to the trainer, put some kind of contraption. I want to play. And he goes, I'm not quite sure. My teeth are gone or whatever. And I went out. And then I think I scored a winning goal and got through the game, and obviously it was broken. So I think those moments, and I'm not telling players to play hurt. That's not my point. I think your mind sometimes can control. I call it that. It's that Navy SEAL. There's there more. You know, here's your max, but you got to break that seal. And I think in that game, I broke the seal. I'm like, no, I'm going to play. Even though it hurt, I played and I got through the game.
X's and O's are great in strategy. We've witnessed coaches be able to break through and totally dominate the opposition. But is there any substitute for experience? We're watching with Florida right now, and I'm wondering, is there anything that you could have done that prepared your team as much as just going through the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yeah, great question. I love looking at the coaches in the past that have won. You look at a Bruce Cassidy, how Vegas, great franchise, couldn't get over the top, how they kind of marched through the playoffs with their style. Now everyone emulates that Vegas. Now you go into, you know, Colorado, same thing when they won. You know, the teams like, what are Colorado? Now if you look at Florida, learn from last year, you know, going through that gauntlet in the playoffs into this year, the way they don't move from their style. They play the same way. They don't care. They don't apologize the way they play. They play a tough brand. They got some great hockey players there. They got a lot of depth. Kind of reminds me of Vegas, right?
Yeah, they're different than they were last year, right?
1,000,000%.
Yeah.
I think of handling pressure. And I think the discipline this year too. I watched the discipline. Yeah, they play they play that rough style, but the discipline has been really good.
Fun stuff on the X and O standpoint, yeah. But individually, do you see this as an opportunity for your players, some of your players, to grab hold of what they went through?
Yeah, because it's going to get harder, Darren. It's going to get really hard. We've kind of like raised the bar. Well, we've raised the bar. I mean, we were, you know, bubble team, and there was a lot of noise in Vancouver, and they haven't won, and there's a lot of, you know, there's negativity. I'll be honest with you, when he got there, there's a lot of not a lot of trust. And I think the last year and a half, because of Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford and the Aquilini family giving us what we need, the Quinn Hughes, the Millers and the Pettersons and Demko, I can go down a list of guys, Myers, where they bought in to what we were selling and to trust each other. But now we're not, you know, we're not going to surprise anybody now. They're going, okay, we're on the Pacific Division. There's no easy games for us. And it's going to get harder. You know, we're going to have our team could drastically change. So we're going to lose seven guys, free agency. We're going to have to sign some players. So we could, a lot of things can change here, but it's going to get harder. And I think we have to embrace the hardness.
How do you ask for more from players that gave so much?
Yeah. I think the prize at the end, there's more. I hate to say it. Yeah, a guy had a great year, but is there more? You scored this many goals or you did this for us, but is there something you can do even more in a team game to get us over the hump? So I think you can ask for more that way. The way we practice, is there a better way you can practice? Is there a better way off the ice so we can handle certain situations? It's tough because we had some guys that had some real careers and I'm asking for more. So you got to be careful because as a coach, you got to recognize, hey, and I recognize it. Those guys play their asses off for me, but I still have to ask for more.
Could you get away with going without a tie behind the bench?
I'd be an advocate of that.
Yeah. I'm a tradition guy.
I respect the NHL, but I think that's an ownership thing. I was going to bring it up to our owner, Francesco, a great guy, and say, hey, do you mind if I just change my style a bit?
Torts has done it right with the sweater.
Well, we did the bubble. Remember the bubble? Yep. Some teams did, and then they gassed it during the COVID. And then we had that Lululemon kind of it was a nice look. And I enjoy it. I like that look. I don't know if it's to translate. I don't know if I have the balls, to be honest with you, to do it. I'd like to do it. Maybe I'll get Berube and Cassidy and all these guys, Cooper. Maybe I need those guys, stature to do it, not me right now. Those guys won cups. Let them do it. No, I'll follow suit.
I get the feeling, I've never watched you walk off the bench, but your tie's coming off before you get to the room.
Yeah. I just don't feel comfortable sometimes. You want to coach, right? So yeah, that ties off. Usually take the tie off before the press conference, the coach's press conference.
Okay. What was your response when you were told that you were going to a third string goaltender, and how long honestly did it take you to get comfortable? Because it couldn't have been at the start. No offense.
I agree. I'll be honest with you. I get that from the management group with Patrick and Jim. There's no belaboring. Oh my God. They never say that. They go, okay, next man up. And I got that over the years. So was I kind of like, oh my God, are you kidding me? A little bit, but I'll be honest with you, right in Ian Clark's office, our goalie coach. All right, what do we got to do here? Like we were right in coaching mode. I think when you belabor the point, players can see that. I go into practice that day and they know Demko's out. If I show any hint of, oh my God, or poor as we, right? Yeah. I think you're in trouble. So I think you got to show a really stiff face. And I think we did. I think our staff and organization did. And our Artie, Cialov, he could feel the confidence from us and he played great for us.
Did you change anything with him in from a defending standpoint?
No, but I think the players really wanted to, play really well in front of him. So,
you can't structurally change anything for a goaltender.
No, I mean, I didn't change the system because of him. I think players subconsciously, I might, I'm going to stay here a little bit longer just in case this breakdown happens instead of jumping up in the play. And I don't blame them early on. And I think as they got confidence already, they started, I'm going to play my game. So I think the players did a hell of a job in front of them.
When you look at potential assistant coaches. I should mention Adam Foote coming in. That was a great ad.
I was on that staff in Pittsburgh with Mike Sullivan. To me, it was one of the best coaching staffs in a sense for me to grow as a coach. So before I took that job, Adam Foote had to come with me and Sergei Gonchar. I wouldn't have taken that job. I don't believe in going in blind into a job without your guys. And don't get me wrong, you have to have the blessing from the GM. And obviously Jim and Patrick gave me that blessing, but they were huge for me. And Adam, you got to remember, he was a first year NHL assistant coach.
Yeah.
But I just knew, he wore the letter on this. He was a captain, played with the greats. He's got a great hockey mind and spent a lot of time with me. Adam was, he's there at 6:37 and he's like, he went from here to present to here. Like when he presents in his command of the players, how he grew as a year was was really helped me a lot. And he gained the trust of the defenseman.
You guys had played against each other, know each other, but where did the coaching relationship come?
Well, really, it's just from contact. There's no coaching. Like, I kind of went a little blind. You know, I rolled the dice to bring him in, but I had him. I coached him in, I think it was 2006 in Colorado. He was a defenseman there, and I was assistant coach for Tony Grinnell. So yeah. I saw him, his hockey brain there as a player. And then when I was on TNT, he would text me every once in a while. I would say something you know, about a team, and he would text me, hey, talk. I would say about playing a two-on-one. He goes, yeah, I love the way you explained it. What do you think if the D did this, and did that? And I'm like, so he would text me during the TNT broadcast about some of the stuff I said. So his mind was always thinking, and I felt, hey, man, if I get this job, Adam Foote's a guy that I really want on my staff.
I send you a text. I never got a job offer.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. I didn't know you're qualified. You're ready to be assistant coach. Can you run a power play?
Yeah, yeah. You put it to the point, get a net front presence, yeah, and get it on net. Yeah. That's my strategy. Okay, on the TNT panel, who would you hire as an assistant coach? And who would be the last person on the panel?
Oh, man, they're going to kill me on this.
They'll forget about it because they're not on anymore.
Well, Gretz is out because he's not going to do it. You can't pay him enough. Anson Carter is a guy that he might be a qualified. Biz, obviously, everyone think that he's the last guy, but actually Biz is a smart guy. He's a lot smarter than people think. He loves the game of hockey, comes up with good stuff. Even Liam, like knowing Liam over the years, how his hockey IQ, it seems like that year, I just remember like from the October to the end, how everybody, and I'm just talking as a coach or a player, how their hockey IQ increased. I would probably say Anson Carter. He'd probably be the only guy that would want that job. And Gretz wouldn't want it. So, you know, no chance.
Would you bring in Gretz as a like guest coach at camp? Like a couple rounds of golf?
I would bring Gretz as a guy before practice to talk to the team for 10, 15 minutes. Really has a lot of great stories in situational stuff. You know, he's been there. I remember being in this situation as a player. I remember the coach doing this when we were in, you know, we were in a slump or things were going good. And I remember as a captain, we did this. I think he's one of the best storytellers, and I think he's got so much knowledge. He's helped me. Even when I was going to take this job, I really relied on Gretz. Do I take the job? What do you think? I probably talk to him every day about hockey. He's a hockey savant. I still think one day I'd love to see him run a team, like right from the head guy and hire his people. But I think he enjoys what he's doing now. But he is a hockey savant, 100%.
Okay, what's your plan for the summer here? Now that we're into it.
Yeah, I think I've got some coaches projects coming up. We'll have a meeting in August. We have a kind of a coaches symposium. We got the development camp and the free agency in about a month after the draft. And then, honestly, it's to recharge. You know, maybe, man, we still have a golf, man. We were in the same neighborhood. I've golfed twice in the last 2 years. So you got a lot of balls? Do you have a lot of balls?
Yes.
I mean, I need balls. I'm not playing. I haven't played well, but I got to start taking the game of golf. I need another hobby where I can get frustrated on other than hockey and sometimes my coaching. So I think I need something to derail my frustration.
Are you a range rat or do you just go hit, go play?
I think I should be a range rat first. I went and played Southern Highlands the other day. Second time I played golf in 2 years and it wasn't pretty, but I went after to hit balls after. And it's amazing how you go in the range and how good you hit it. When you actually play the course, how bad you are. And there's my mantra. I can't handle the pressure. There it is, right? I can't
like
handle the pressure.
Like a good comedian. We looped it all the way back.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm preaching to the team and I can't meet pressure with pressure. I'm a four handicap on the range, but I'm a, you know, an 18 handicap in the actual course. So there you go.
Consequences, right? It changes everything. But with your analogy, meet pressure with pressure. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Great to see you, buddy. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait to hook up with you at the draft over at the Sphere and give you a big hug and just listen to a couple of stories about the great rise of Rick Tocchet.
Well, we got to play golf because, like, let's set it up here the next couple months. You're in Vegas now?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. So, and other than that, same thing all the years I've known you. I'm not trying to – your questions are the – that's why I love doing the pot. They're unreal questions. I feel like you're Charlie Rose or somebody like that. It's unbelievable. Remember Charlie Rose? He was awesome.
Oh, so. Yeah, I love Charlie Rose.
Yeah, he was the best. So, anyways, good questions. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Be well.
Okay, bud.
What a marvelous human being. Love that guy. Love talking hockey. Love talking smack. I love talking the odd things. He handles it all so well. Really cool stuff with Rick Tocchet. And now might be the time. We've discussed it, playing golf. Now might be the time. If he's really only played a couple of times in the last couple of years, maybe this would be the opportunity to get in there. Not saying I'm going to beat him, but at least hold my own. I had hand surgery. I'm on the injured list right now. That hand surgery a week ago. So even an injured mallard might be time to get in there. Dr. Herzog, don't worry. I'm not going to do anything stupid, but it'd be fun to go out there. Love to document it too. Go out there and just do like a 4-hour podcast to make it a special. Imagine the stuff that we could come up with the Vancouver Canucks head coach and keep an eye on him with the Four Nations event next year during the All-Star break and then the Olympics. Keep an eye on Rick Tocchet as the Jack Adams winner. Will he be part of the staffs that go to next year's Four Nations tournament or the Olympics in Milan? Just giving you a heads up. I believe that he is on the radar there when it comes to those kinds of events. Stick around. I've got that information regarding the cap-friendly situation. We all love that website, capfriendly.com, and following the salary cap and the different compensation for players and contract status. I'll give you an alternative there and just what's happening when it comes to that website. But first, a couple of things to pass your way. 30 for 30 podcast presenting Searching for Hobie Baker. And this is just a marvelous, a wonderful production that is so educational. I, like you, know the name Hobie Baker. Collegiate hockey's most prestigious trophy is named after him. But very few of us, myself included, know the real story of this all-time great athlete. Using archive material and personal letters and source materials provided by Mudd Library at Princeton University, as well as original research, this series charts Hobie's glory days as the best collegiate hockey and football player in the nation. His post-grad ennui in Gilded Age New York City, as well as his exploits as a World War I fighter pilot, which ended tragically in a mysterious crash back in 1918. Beyond Hobie's adventures on the ice and in the air, this podcast also recontextualizes the hockey legend through the lens of his lesser-known struggles as a queer man in the early 20th century.
If one game can get you into the Hockey Hall of Fame, this was it.
Hobie Baker starred for Princeton University in hockey and football and remains the only athlete in both the College Football and Hockey Halls of Fame.
The whole atmosphere was electric when he was playing.
You couldn't ignore him, this kind of blonde Adonis.
As famous as he was in his day, he is little remembered now. 30 for 30 podcast presents Searching for Hobie Baker. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is just excellent storytelling by our partners over at ESPN. Check it out now. 30 for 30 podcast presents Searching for Hobie Baker. Also, I want to remind you about The Garden Party. Garden Party is the podcast from NHL Productions, NHL Backstory. Check it out wherever you get podcasts or there's information on NHL.com. It follows along and reminisces about the 1994 championship won by the New York Rangers. Great stories, their favorite bar, different anecdotes throughout. And one of my favorite stories about that whole championship was they were up 3-1. In the series against the Vancouver Canucks in the Stanley Cup Final. And Game 5 is at MSG, and the tickets were just through the roof. You'd expect that because they hadn't won in so many years. The tickets for Game 5 were more expensive than the tickets for Game 7 because in Game 5, you weren't going to see your team lose the Stanley Cup. There's no chance of that. Game 7, It was a pick'em based on the Vancouver Canucks march back into that series. So one of the cool things about that interest in storylines, but awesome stuff with Garden Party. And it was June 14th as we record this, June 14th in 2024, June 14th, 1994. That the New York Rangers won the Stanley Cup. So right now, the 30-year anniversary of Garden Party. Here's the situation with Cap Friendly, capfriendly.com. Washington Capitals have purchased it. They've hired three people from capfriendly.com. They're going to take it in-house, so it won't be available. That wonderful resource that is used not just by media. Fans really lean into Cap Friendly. It's got draft pick totals for every team going into the next number of drafts, from the salary cap information to player compensation and contract status. It has everything. It is a huge resource for fans, for media, for teams as well. And that's why the Washington Capitals have gone down this route, and they're going to take it in-house. What do we do? Where do we go? Well, Puckpedia has relaunched, and puckpedia.com. Check that out. They've done some really good work there on their website. That right now is the best alternative to go to. And we've been down this path before. Remember General Fanager, my buddy Tom, had that. And then he was hired by the Vegas Golden Knights. Then Cap Friendly came in. So we've been down this road of having to find different avenues for information. But that's it right now. Cap Friendly going to the Washington Capitals. Wish them the best of luck working for a team. Got to be a little bit different working for the team. Then you've got Puckpedia right now coming in underneath and hopefully doing a lot of the backfilling for us and not leaving us without the information. Look forward to working with them for the next number of years until they might get bought by a team. That's it for right now. Thanks for joining us. Again, share the Rick Tocchet episode with everybody. It just is awesome. Even if you're not a hardcore hockey fan, there's enough in there. Facing pressure with pressure. What a great line. I love it. I don't know whether I can do it, but I'm going to have that in the back of my mind whenever I'm in a tight situation. Just ramp it up, be confident, and try and own the situation. Thanks to Bob Bender. Thanks to Tocchet. And thanks to you for listening. I can't wait to talk to you next week on the Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard.